the Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony, a very good morning to you.
Boker Tov, Chad. Rain continues. We still have our storm on the horizon. Some reports of flooding, a few trees uprooted, some wind, but still pretty miserable weather. It is expected to lift a little today. Lots of snow on the Hermon. I read somewhere 25 centimeters of snow on the Hermon, so the ski fields are definitely open. And, of course, a lot of rain, which is welcome as long as it doesn't cause any property damage, it doesn't cause any flooding or inconvenience. Unfortunately, inevitably, heavy rainfall like what we've experienced over the last few days does have its a cost to it. It does cause some damage. But overall, I think Israel has coped pretty well. And I think people are now looking forward to the arrival of summer again. I think, you know, for most Israelis, this is enough of winter already.
Sure. So quite unsurprising that the country went into a high state of readiness. It's good to see it. A lot of people said it was a bit of an overkill. I don't believe so. I always believe it's better to be overprepared than underprepared. And we're just happy to hear that it wasn't as serious as one thought it may have been. And we didn't see fatalities or storms like we've seen in other parts of the world as a result of this ongoing change in climate. And it's good to hear that you're doing well that side. COVID, it's staying in the news. It's not going away. It's something that we look to the Israelis for guidance, specifically because of their technology and the fact that safety and security is so important to them. So the Israeli government yesterday decided to roll out the fourth booster vaccination with immediate effect. How will this work, and what is the strategy behind this fourth booster?
So it doesn't come as a massive surprise that Israel is not amongst the first, if not the first country in the world. I've read various reports, but I haven't found another country that's decided to proceed with a fourth booster vaccination yet. So my belief, at least at the moment, is that Israel is the first country to decide to roll out the fourth booster. This was also the case when we rolled out the third booster vaccination, because we were first then. I guess it's inevitable that we need to be first now, because we've already learned that the efficacy of the vaccine wanes over time. And those people who received their third booster vaccination are now already 3, 4, 5 months past having received that vaccination, and therefore we understand that it is becoming less and less effective over time, and therefore the need for the Israeli government to make a decision now in light of the waning efficacy, and of course in parallel with that, in light of the massive increase that we're seeing, particularly in cases of Omicron. So yesterday, Prime Minister Naftali Bennett announced that with immediate effect, the fourth vaccination will be rolled out. The way that it's going to work is that everybody who has already passed 3 months since their third vaccination will be entitled to get a fourth vaccination at first. I'm sorry, not 3 months, but 4 months. Everybody who's passed 4 months since the third dose will be entitled to the fourth dose. At first, the elderly, the medical workers, the high-risk people will be the ones to receive the vaccination. They can turn up already pretty much immediately. The country is going into high state of readiness in order to roll out the vaccine. I understand that the military has become involved, the Home Front Command, and of course all the medical personnel have been told to become ready in order to vaccinate the elderly, the health workers, medical and health workers, and of course those at high risk. I understand that those people who suffer from severe immunocompromisation have already begun to receive their fourth vaccine. So this is, they haven't waited until this moment. Many of them already have been vaccinated with the fourth vaccination. The strategy, I think, is first of all to keep the population as vaccinated as possible, and in parallel with that, somehow knock this Omicron on the head and try somehow to face up to it and to defeat it. In the same way that the strategy was followed during the uptick in the Delta variant, we saw so many people becoming infected with the Delta variant just at the time that the effect of the second vaccination was wearing off. And that was when the government stepped up and said, let's get the third vaccine out of the way. Let's roll it out and get people vaccinated. Others around the world were somewhat skeptical. It hadn't been approved. There were lots and lots of comments that were made. Ultimately, we see that the rest of the world has followed suit. So we understand that our early decision was the right one to make. It seems as if this decision now to roll out the fourth vaccine is also probably the right decision, although, you know, we cannot tell until we are down the route already and we see also what other countries choose to do. So this is what will be happening over the coming days. And just in tandem with that, some good news for people who are living outside of Israel. And the good news is that the Israeli government has also decided that they will allow close family members from red countries around the world to visit Israel under particular circumstances. So those people who are feeling disappointed and feeling like they might have been discriminated against for not being allowed to visit members of family in Israel, that is about to change. And as I understand it, the list that has been put together for, let's say, exceptions includes parents of Israelis who are giving birth, grandparents of bar and bat mitzvah girls and boys, immediate family members of brides and grooms, which includes parents, grandparents, and siblings. These are people who are expected to be on that so-called exceptions list. They will have to make application for special permission to travel to Israel. But the idea is that those people will be granted permission in order to be able to join their loved ones and to celebrate the usual kind of events that we expect members of family to join as we move through this pandemic and as we move through our lives. So that's, I think, some good news. And I hope that that will at least satisfy some of those people who feel badly done by.
Well, while Israel leads some countries, ours included in South Africa, lags behind in respect of the booster vaccinations. We will be rolling out our third booster, which will take place in January, and you would have to have had your second vaccination a minimum of 6 months before. But like I said, we look to Israel. Israel have been at the forefront of this fight, and we appreciate their efforts, and it's a guiding light through these very, very uncertain times. Sadly, there was an attempted terror attack again yesterday, but this time it was thwarted. What were the details of this?
Yeah, so this was, again, another event, another situation that took place in the ongoing slight uptick in the number of terror attacks that we're experiencing. This time, the attack was directed towards a military checkpoint in the area of Mavor Dotan, which is in the northern Sumerian Hills region. We understand that a car approached this military checkpoint and looked to the soldiers who were there like it was intent upon trying to cause some damage, being directed towards some of the soldiers who were manning the checkpoint. Soldiers in these particular instances are very, very quick to react when they saw that this was an event, a car approaching in a slightly erratic way. They immediately lifted their weapons in order to fire at the driver of that car. In the process of firing at the driver of the car apparently crashed into a military vehicle that was situated next to the military checkpoint, and both vehicles then burst into flames. The fire services were called in order to deal with the ensuing fire from these two vehicles, and it is understood that the attacker's body was found in the charred remains of the car that was being driven towards the checkpoint. And so under those circumstances, the obvious questions arise as to whether this was indeed a terror attack. Fortunately, on this occasion, soldiers were slightly hurt, but nobody seriously enough to go to hospital. So this was definitely something that was prevented if indeed it was a terror attack. And the only way that we can really come to a logical conclusion is through some of the responses from the Palestinian side, where there were praises being written in social media for this person who was considered to be very brave and manning up, you know, trying to stand up to what's termed the occupation authority. So one can understand from the response and from some of these things that have been written in praise of this individual that there's almost no uncertainty about the fact that this was indeed an attempted terror attack. And, you know, as I say, so many people, so many doubters would turn around and say, let's have a look at the footage. Can we be 100% sure that this car that was being driven erratically was being driven erratically because the intention was to carry out a terror attack? Then very often the defense of, well, this was just someone who was mentally unstable, who wasn't intent upon carrying out a terror attack, and the Israeli authorities have now gone and murdered somebody with mental illness and issues. And I think in this particular case, that is not the situation. I think we can be pretty sure that this individual was indeed intent upon carrying out that attack, and I have no doubt that the intelligence authorities will be doing some background checks to see who was involved, what lies behind it, but certainly some of the organizations, even though nobody has taken responsibility from an official organizational point of view, but certainly many, many indications that this was a potential for a disaster where people might have been killed. Unfortunately, our security services were just wide knife awake on their guard in order to prevent such situations.
And finally, Anthony, the most read Human Rights Watch article of 2020 covers the subject of Israel and apartheid. What is the context of this revelation?
Yeah, I do feel offended when Israel and apartheid are used in the same sentence. As someone who grew up in apartheid South Africa and who knows what the original context of apartheid really is, I do feel offense when people consider Israel to be, to have any links to apartheid whatsoever. And I've read in quite a lot of detail what goes down in this Human Rights Watch article in order to try to understand what the other side is bringing. And the main context, the main accusation from this Human Rights Watch article says the following, and I'm quoting some of it. It says, laws, policies, and statements by leading Israeli officials make plain that the objective of maintaining Jewish-Israeli control over demographics, political power, and land has long guided government policy. In pursuit of this goal, authorities have dispossessed, confined, forcibly separated, and subjugated Palestinians by virtue of their identity to varying degrees of intensity. These deprivations are so severe that they amount to the crimes against humanity of apartheid and persecution. So what Human Rights Watch is saying is that because Israel is so intent upon maintaining Jewish control over the state of Israel, over the land of Israel, they will go to every possible extent in order to, as it's written here, forcibly separate, subjugate, dispossess, confine Palestinians because of trying to maintain a Jewish majority. Well, what I ask Human Rights Watch is, where does terrorism enter this particular mathematical formula to consider that the only reason that Israel is undertaking some of these activities is because of its intention to maintain Jewish control? I would very much challenge that, and I would very much say to people that if it wasn't for the threat of terrorism and the threat of even extermination that Israel has to face up to, that most of what Israel is forced to do in military terms would just simply not take place. If there was an agreement to recognize the state of Israel as it is, as a Jewish state, then things would be very, very different indeed. And just to put it all into context, the top human rights news in 2021 had the following five articles. Number one, Israel's apartheid. We've discussed that. Number two, Philippine President Duterte's drug war executions. Number three, China's mass detention of Uyghur Muslims in Xinjiang. Number four, Taliban attack on women's rights. Number five, massacres in Ethiopia's Tigray region. Those are less important. Those other four articles, less important than the issue of Israel's apartheid. And it's interesting that it comes on a day that Mansour Abbas, who is a member of the Israeli government, an Arab member of the Israeli government representing the Ram party, and who's been considered to be someone who really puts forward the idea, the promotes the purpose and the cause of the Palestinian Authority within Israeli
politics. He came out in support of the State of Israel.
Well, yeah, I mean, he just simply, I don't know whether he supported or didn't, but he just simply said that Israel is a Jewish country. The State of Israel was born as a Jewish state. And the question is how to integrate Arab society into it. That was his statement. He is someone who's been considered to be something of an enemy from within.
Well,
that was his statement.
His change in attitude to me seems to be that of support. Anthony, unfortunately, we've run out of time. I'm looking so forward to our next conversation. We can continue with this. But unfortunately, we need to now move on. It's time for the 8 a.m. news.